Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Since July, the Northumberland Humane Society in Port Hope took on the duties of animal welfare investigation and enforcement. With that announcement came a timeline. The province said there was some new legislation in the pipeline and the situation would be reviewed in the new year. Well, this week, the Provincial Animal Welfare Services Act 2019, notice the acronym PAWS, makes you think a lot of bureaucrats sat around a table for a long time to come up with that one, was announced by the Solicitor General. It means there was some changes coming in January. To help us understand the legislation and the impact locally, I am pleased to have in studio Kate Lennon, General Manager of the Northumberland Humane Society and the co-host of the Weekly Whiskers here on 89.7 FM. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks so much for having me, Robert. Obviously, you know, we've had many conversations about the future of animal welfare, so I'm so excited to be on.
Thanks so much. When you look at the new act overall, what stands out to you most?
You know, and a huge credit to the ministry for really rolling this out as quickly as they did, because it was obviously a hot topic with the OSPCA withdrawing in June and having this ready for January. So the new Provincial Animal Welfare Services Act has a lot of really good topics. You know, it's addressing dogs in hot car, it's addressing dog fighting, but the greatest thing about this new act is actually going to be the penalties. It is increasing penalties for repeat offenders and corporate offenders as well, and right now going to be the strongest in Canada.
Why is that significant compared to what we had before?
So how we were currently enforcing under the Ontario SPCA Act, there wasn't anything to address repeat offenders. And, you know, we were chatting about that one case we did last year with the 57-dog puppy mill. That individual had been investigated multiple times and actually was convicted and charged in 2011 with a similar offense. So by 2017, we're back doing the exact same thing, and there was nothing to address that repeat offender. So under the new legislation, there's going to be stiffer penalties, including jail time.
I also noticed earlier this week up in Peterborough, there was a case that had been, charges had been laid about 2 years ago, and they just announced the sentencing. And there was quite a number of people that were upset because it was a suspended sentence, and there was a lot of animal activist groups that were saying that's ridiculous considering the serious nature of the cruelty that had happened to the animals.
Absolutely, and that's been really one of the challenges under this the old provincial legislation is the penalties and being able to prosecute. And actually under this act, there's going to be new training for Crown attorneys that can specialize in the convictions of these animal cruelty cases.
Okay, so let's take a step back then and talk a little bit about how this is going to impact locally. And I guess the first thing would be the enforcement contract that you currently have. Are you going to lose that contract now, or how's
so,
it going to roll out?
Yeah, so we're in a transition period. When we took on the interim contract, we knew that it was going to be essentially from June to December until the ministry came up with the new service model, and thankfully they have. So they are developing a provincial enforcement team. So the enforcement piece will be going directly to the ministry. So right now we have an inspector on our team, Tex Ritter, who's fabulous. So he will no longer be employed with the Humane Society, and the enforcement inspectors will be actually employed by the province. So
one of the things that people were critical about the old legislation was some of these enforcement people had huge areas to cover for doing investigations and enforcement work. Has that been changed at all? Is that going to be addressed?
Exactly. That was one of their main things. Is first of all, there was not enough inspectors to begin with, and the areas were too big. And honestly, you got to worry about that burnout for those inspectors. It's a very tough job. So when they have too heavy of a workload, they're not efficient. So under the new provincial model, they are looking at zoning and regions and where to best put inspectors. So there's definitely going to be a huge recruitment process coming up where directly with the province. And they will be adding significantly more inspectors, like locally deployed provincial inspectors, but also specialized inspectors for like the agriculture or zoos and aquariums piece as well. So
I understand, though, that's not totally new. I mean, they did have some specially trained people before, but this is actually an upgrade compared to what was before.
Exactly. Because, with the Ontario SPCA withdrawing, a lot of that was due to what they say was lack of funding. So they were only able to put as many inspectors out on the road as per the funding. But now that it's going back to the province directly, that's something that they are addressing and making sure that there's enough officers and that the officers are going to have the appropriate training to be able to do the inspections.
Interesting. You mentioned the OSPCA, and I also understood it wasn't just funding that was the only issue. They actually had a court decision last January that impacted their ability to do enforcement because there was a constitutional challenge. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, so to my understanding of it, and it does make sense, right? It was a registered charity enforcing provincial law, which should be done by the province. It's no different than any sort of policing. Like the Ministry of Natural Resources also have policing power. So it was a huge piece that was being done by a registered charity, which doesn't have the same accountability as the province does directly. And that was really what the push to move forward with that. And that's what triggered the province to actually start working on this new legislation, because they were really looking for something that was obviously more robust, transparent, and accountable to the community. And going directly to the province is where that's going to be.
Now, I understand that there are two levels of animal legislation. There's the provincial, but there's also a municipal piece as well. Can you explain the difference? Because we're talking about two separate things there, aren't we?
Yeah, and they really do, and a lot of times, go hand in hand. Obviously, there's the provincial legislation, which is the new PAWS Act, which I agree is a fantastic name. But then, it trickles down to municipal bylaws that actually address, the stray and pound contracts and that sort of stuff. But then there's also the Dog Owner Liability Act that is also enforced at a municipal level. But they do have a lot of similar enforcement abilities, but the provincial one is going to be the animal welfare inspections.
So has there been a missed opportunity then to combine these two levels into a single system?
And you'll see actually across the province, there's a lot of municipalities and even working with humane societies that are looking at developing kind of standards of care style municipal bylaws that just have more support to that provincial piece as well. So there's a lot of conversations happening now, especially with this huge change and that announcement back in June that this is the direction that we had to go. It's really triggered a lot of conversations here locally, but throughout other municipalities as well, to talk about addressing animal welfare at a municipal level is in addition to that provincial piece.
Would that be a good thing?
Absolutely. The more protection for animals, the better. You see a lot of municipalities moving towards and away from like that classic animal control style bylaw and moving towards like a responsible pet ownership bylaw, which then also addresses standards of care and it has the ability to enforce it municipally and provincially.
So then you look locally, and I know we have you guys at the Humane Society and you guys do this enforcement work, but we've also got the Municipal Animal Shelter on Theatre Road.
Yes.
So you begin to wonder, I mean, if you're both kind of doing the same things, wouldn't it be better just to combine all these things and have the one, say, the Humane Society doing all of this and be overseeing it all rather than having the two systems?
Well, and as we move forward in the future, that's definitely something that is a conversation to be had. And, we work well with our municipalities now. And like I said, this provincial piece really triggered a lot of conversations within municipalities on, amalgamating or combining services and working together. And as you know, the province and the government we have now is all about streamlining services and sharing resources. And I think that's really key as we move forward. And as we were talking before we came into the studio, the value of animals has definitely changed compared to, say, 20 years ago, where some of these provincial and municipal laws were written. So it's time to actually take a step back, review them, and see what the best course of action is that's going to support both the animals and the people.
That's interesting. Now, tell me, in the legislation, they talk about giving inspectors the necessary powers to help animals in distress and to hold owners accountable. So what has increased in terms of their powers? What makes them more powerful than they are right now?
Well, I think a lot of it's just the way the legislation is written, the new legislation coming forward. And I believe it has passed first reading. It's more descriptive on what they can do. So, you know, going back to that dogs and hot card actually gives them the authority to be able to enter that vehicle to remove that dog, where under old legislation, there was no specifics about that. It has more specifics about when you can enter a property without a warrant and that warrant process. So it's just more descriptive of what their abilities are going to be, which is really the direction that we needed to go, because under the old legislation, you know, we've had to walk away legally from a lot of cases because we didn't have the ability to actually enforce.
I know a lot of people in the summertime get very upset when they see animals in hot cars, and you've mentioned that. Now, is there any extension of powers to ordinary citizens at all, or is it still going to be a matter of I'm going to have to phone up and say, can somebody come and check this out, or am I going to be able to be empowered some way to take action?
That's a piece of, I know they are addressing that, so I'm not sure the exact direction that we're going with that. You know, dogs in hot cars, very common. We get calls all summer long, so we're hoping that that's going to be addressed in this new legislation as we move forward. You know, we're really excited that inspectors will have more powers that way. But, you know, when it comes to a civilian coming in and doing removing that animal, like, that's something that I think they're taking very seriously and looking at it under this new legislation.
Because I can imagine, you know, when you're watching something, and if you're an animal lover and you see that happening, you want to act immediately. You know, you don't want to phone and wait a half an hour for somebody to come up.
And it's absolutely heartbreaking. And I know you can call the local police as well, or provincial police. It doesn't have to be the animal welfare inspector. Police do have the ability to address those concerns as well. And that's why it's fantastic that they've actually putting in the legislation that dog and hot car, or I should say pet and hot car, because it could be any sort of animal, which is really key. And then again, you know, those stiffer and stronger penalties for not only repeat offenders, but even first-time offenders. If it's a serious case, there's stiffer penalties for both monetary fines and that possible jail time piece, which was not something under the previous legislation.
When you go through the legislation, they talk about a serious increase in penalties for corporate offenders. And I was a little bit confused by what they meant by corporate offenders. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, so that, to my understanding, it's you're looking at your testing facilities and your zoos and that sort of stuff. So those businesses that operate with kind of the animals as part of the business model, and just making those corporate businesses who have the moral responsibility to make sure that they're treating those animals humanely, especially if they're profiting off of the animals in some sense. So, and to my understanding, it's the fines are going up to like $1 million possibly for a corporate fine for a conviction of animal cruelty, which, you know, like I said, animals are valued differently now. People can't get away with treating the animals that they were. And that's what's so fantastic about this legislation, is that people are now going to be accountable for their actions, which the public has been demanding for a very long time.
So locally, we've had the example of the Bowmanville Zoo, which closed in October of 2016. Now, that took a long time for that to come about. But I know that more recently, there's been controversies over marine land. I mean, there's Jungle Cat World, which is, I guess, on the 115 mm-hmm. near Newcastle. There's been some concerns about being too close to the animals and those kinds of concerns. Will this legislation address those kinds of things that we've seen happening locally?
Yeah, and I believe so. And they are working on developing, and I know they did have it under the Ontario SPCA Act, kind of as a zoo inspection, but they are taking that very serious now. And with the justice system, like, these things can take a long time to actually come to fruition. And so it's really good that there's going to be additional training for Crown attorneys that are going to be specialized in recognizing what those cases are. Because currently, as we're bringing cases forward to the justice system, You know, Crown attorneys have a heavy workload, and then of course they don't have a wealth of animal welfare and cruelty knowledge. So that specialized training is really going to help with those convictions as well. So they are going to resume and improve their zoo inspection and aquarium inspections, because again, if they're profiting off of animals, we have to ensure that they're cared for properly.
So this morning in the Toronto Star, there was a column that was talking about the new legislation, and they had a couple of animal rights activists and some groups coming on saying, you know, they're still concerned that farmers are, for the most part, still exempt, hunters are still exempt, and a lot of the laboratories that do scientific experiments using animals are still exempt. Is that still the case? I know we have a lot of farmers that are here in Northumberland, and of course, you know, there's always concerns about how they handle animals and et cetera. Is there going to be an impact on them?
Well, I know making comments provincially, I'll be honest, Robert, I'm not sure exactly which direction they're going with overall. I know locally our inspector does do livestock calls and does investigate a lot of livestock calls with private owners. So that's something that we address locally. As we were talking, we just had a bunch of chickens and ducks, and we had some goats and pigs, and it's something that the inspectors will have specialized training. How they're addressing those large scale. I know it's something that they are taking seriously and considering. As we transition, we're going to see a lot coming. Like, this is very preliminary. This is just all coming to the front line of it now. So there's going to be a few months of processes and training and recruiting. So, you know, it's definitely a step in the right direction for a long-term sustainable animal welfare model.
So the fact that these are going to be some of the strongest penalties across Canada, in Canada, how much more transparency and accountability? We keep going back and forth, and we really don't know. But can you give us some sense of just how transparent and how accountable this system's going to be, and the fact that we're going to have one window of a complaint mechanism? I think they've announced a hotline that you're going to be able to call. How much of a difference is that going to make to us here? Is it going to really impact us in a big way, or what should we expect to see, I guess, in the future as we go forward?
Well, and, you know, transparency really was that key target for the ministry, because when it's being done and enforced by a registered charity, we don't have the same requirements. And Northumberland's very transparent. Like, when we do a case, we talk about the case, we show the animals, we're reporting how many animals are being brought in. But to my understanding, it will fall under the Freedom of Information Act because it's at a provincial level. The exact details of case, I'm not sure that they would be releasing that because, you know, the privacy of, but charges and anything like that will definitely be public knowledge, especially when convicted.
So then let's talk about the Humane Society itself. Once this new task group is up and they're doing the enforcement piece, did I understand correctly, that's going to be taken off of your plate?
Yes. So the actual enforcement of it, so the inspector themselves will no longer be employed by the Northumberland Humane Society and will be going directly to the province. But before we took on this interim piece, it was operating kind of similar, where the Ontario SPCA actually had the inspector, but the Humane Society offered the supportive services. And that's where we're probably seeing this move forward. And there's still lots of discussions happening with the ministry at a local level with the Humane Society on just the sheltering and supportive services. Because as the inspectors are out doing enforcement, if there's a removal or a surrender, those animals have to go somewhere. And that's where the Northumberland Humane Society is still going to play a crucial role, because we've been doing this for over 50 years. So we have the staff training and experience to handle these cases, because a lot of these animals coming in through investigations do require a lot of care and attention. So
I don't know. Hopefully most people have been over to the Humane
Society. I hope so.
They should go over. But all the same, it's not a very large facility. So what happens, for example, if there's been cruelty to a horse or, say, 50 pigs? or 100 chickens.
You're absolutely right, and that's been an ongoing challenge for us. We do have a small facility. We are looking to do some expansion in the future, just, you know, of course, but we need to kind of define what the needs are going to be. And that's where that discussions and transition period with the ministry, if we are going to be taking in those livestock cases in the community, you know, that's something we have to address. We are very lucky locally that we've been able to establish a lot of really good working relationships with some foster farms and some actually livestock rescues. So the chickens and ducks that we recently brought in obviously were housed at the Humane Society, where we could assess them for health and make sure that we could clear them. And then we actually sent them to one of our partner rescues. One of the pigs we have is actually at a foster farm right now. So we're very fortunate that we've been able to build those relationships, because it really does take a community, and it takes a network of like-minded organizations and rescues to be able to save these animals.
So part of the purpose of this legislation is to mean greater enforcement. And through that, you would imagine that there might be more cases that come forward, or more things get inspected, and therefore more rescues happen. What discussions are going around in your organization to respond to an increasing number while you're already packed to the rafters?
Yeah, and you know, that's something that we're having internally ongoing conversations at a board of directors level of, you know, where is this really going to go? When we initially took over the interim enforcement piece, our initial proposal to the ministry was to cover Northumberland County. And actually, we soon realized that obviously animal welfare has no boundaries, and we're actually assisting in calls in the Quinte West area and the Peterborough region. We've even assisted with some housing of animals from a Stouffville case, because that's how the direction we're going under the province, how much there's a need for additional housing for these investigations animals. So that's a conversation we're having. Currently, since we assumed the investigations at the end of July, we've taken in 72 animals through that enforcement piece, which is obviously animals you can't account for, because you never know those cases. Like, we had a 11 dog removal, and that's a lot of dogs. And again, it's just working with that network of support and fosters and just having a transfer network. So we're able to work with other humane societies. So we'll take them in, we assess them, and then try to transfer them out to different adoption agencies to kind of keep our capacity, because it's really key, like capacity for care and making sure that you aren't overloading your shelter with these enforcement animals is really key. So once they are cleared for health, we will send a lot of them out to different rescues and other humane societies for adoption.
But I mean, there must also be a real tension in just trying to look after puppies compared to an older dog that gets surrendered and those kinds of things. I mean, you've got to balance all that out on top of all this other that you're trying to do.
Absolutely. You know, the Humane Society has a lot of moving parts, and thankfully a very dedicated team that we're able to assess each case, because we do actually, we have two current litters of puppies through that investigations, and you know, we work with fosters. We have Amanda, who is actually on the Weekly Whiskers with me, who's our animal care manager, who really does manage the intakes and outcomes and transfer. So, you know, she's constantly busy. Each day is different. Our inspector's going out, and you never know what's coming in the door. So we're constantly on our toes. And I always say, animal welfare is not a job. It's not a career. It's a lifestyle. You know, we work late. You know, I'm taking calls at 11 o'clock at night, and same with the animal care managers, messaging with different rescues. Like, we are just, you know, when you get into this line of work, you do everything you can to save as many as you can.
So I guess going forward, then, we're going to have this new legislation, and then there's all these, it's like a rock in a calm pond, all these waves that are going to go out that are going to have an impact on our community.
Absolutely. And it's still stuff that, like I said, conversations happening with our board of directors, the Humane Society internally, us, you know, talking to the community, and then, of course, you know, ongoing discussions with the ministry to see where that transition goes. As of right now, they will be resuming the enforcement, like, so the actual inspector, January 1st, 2020, as long as this new legislation passes. But obviously, we're still going to play a vital role in that animal welfare piece.
Well, listen, I hope you can come back and keep us informed as you're going forward, because I think this is going to be a really big thing for our community. So thank you so much for coming in today,
Kim. And thank you for having me, Robert. And we're looking forward to the future. Things are looking good. So
I want to thank my guests today, Kate Lennon, General Manager of the Northumberland Humane Society. When we come back, John Davison and Faye McFarland, two members of the Citizens Council of the Hamilton Township Ratepayers Association. Please stay tuned to Consider This on Northumberland 89.7 FM. Your truly local source for news. We'll be right back.